First Chronicles chapter 16. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen one, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then all the people said, amen, amen, and
praise the Lord.
How great our joy. You guys, 1 week off.
How great our joy.
Man, take 1 week off. Tim? Tim's like, no, that's not me. Well, not his job. Today we begin a sermon series focused on worship. My goal is that we will begin to understand what it means to truly worship God. And when we understand the what and the why of worship, my prayer is that we will begin to practice genuine worship and our joy will continue. Worship is more than what you see in the bulletin. Worship is more than the music that is played. Worship is more than this space with pews and Bibles and crosses and an altar. There is thought and reason behind every element of worship. There is thought and reason behind what's in the sanctuary. But despite our best attempts to create a worship experience, worship depends on your participation. People, we are called to worship God. Romans 12 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Our whole lives are to represent and honor God. And after all, we have His mercy, and He is very deserving of our very best. And we are commanded in the Old Testament to worship God. You heard this as part of our scripture readings. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Today we have many gods that come before God. We have sports gods, shopping gods, travel gods, and many, many more. God should be our first priority in everything, but all too often in our lives, we put everything else ahead of worshiping God. And the Bible also tells us that worship was an important part of the early church. You've heard this probably a half a dozen times. In Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. How many of us are devoted to Scripture, devoted to fellowship, devoted to communion, or devoted to prayer? And in Scripture, we are also called to meet regularly. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." A lot of people ask me, why can't I just stay at home, watch it on TV, do it online, or maybe even listen it to the radio? And there is a place for that, and to do that in addition to your regular worship is okay. And I understand that for many shut-ins, it may be nearly impossible to get to church, and we understand that. But as long as we are able, we are called to meet together for worship. Worship is a unique experience you cannot have just on your own. When we get together as God's people in this space, or it could be the basement, or it could be a tent, it can be anywhere, but when we gather together as God's people, when we support and encourage one another, it is very impactful, it is very spiritual, and it grows in power when we do it together. And I think one of the most important facts that we need to know is that God invites us to worship. He seeks us out to have moments of worship. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. God expects us to be devoted to Him, to worship Him genuinely. We need to realize that we are created in His image, and that we are both a physical and a spiritual being. And we connect to God through the Holy Spirit. And we need to be spiritual in our worship. And I think a lot of people have a hard time doing that. We can come, we can sing songs, but how many people truly let loose of their spirit? How many people get lost in one of our songs? How many people just feel fed and nourished from the Scripture? When we begin worship in our service, our tradition is to start with a call to worship. And one of the resources that I use is a book called The Worship Architect, written by Constant Cherry. So I'm not taking credit for this. This is from her book. In her book, she writes, "Worship is not a meeting about God. It is a meeting with God." Now look at that first statement closely. It is not a meeting about God. It is a meeting with God. Worship would greatly change if the entire congregation truly sensed that they were coming to worship in answer to God's personal invitation. The spirit of the service would change dramatically if we believed we are meeting God here in this space. Can you imagine the expectancy if you believed that you would meet God each week? People should be running to this church. I was excited to go this morning. I can't wait to come here Sunday mornings and meet and worship God. If we really thought we were meeting God, the electricity, all of us coming together would be wonderful. Imagine the holy reverence of being together with God. Imagine the awesome joy of being here together with God. The spirit of the service would begin to reflect what is actually taking place, which is a meeting between the Creator and the created. A meeting that God has desired and initiated. Sometimes we think of the call to worship as people calling one another to worship. You think the leaders up there saying, "Okay, come together, it's all time for us to worship." And that's what we think it is. But in reality, the call to worship is God calling us to worship. And this alone can transform the way we look at worship, because it is God who has set up this meeting. It is God who called us together. And the purpose of the call to worship is twofold. One, to unite our spirits in God's presence, to get us all together on the same page, to get us to stop looking outward and to start looking upward. To get all of us together saying, "Yes, our focus is on you, God." And the call to worship should be prepare us to hear the word of God. Because a meeting is not supposed to be one way. Have you ever got called into a meeting that was a one-way meeting? Where one person said everything and then you left? You didn't like that meeting so well, did you? What happens? Meetings work best when we have dialogue. When we offer our praise to God and God responds back to us through His Word. Spiritual preparation is needed to ready your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. Songs and prayers and scripture readings and other acts of worship lead us through this time of preparation. In the gathering, we acknowledge that God has called us. Through our prayers, we confess any sin that could disable our worship. Did you know that? When you carry sin that you have not confessed to God or confessed to other people, it hinders your ability to worship. Do you ever come here and feel uncomfortable and feel like you just couldn't get into it? Sin could be part of the reason. And part of our gathering and call to worship is to express our gratitude for the presence of our risen Lord and help direct our attention to God and the Trinity. And the call to worship should be a spirit of praise. The spirit of the gathering is typically one of praise, joy, and celebration for who God is and what God has done.
It's not about who God is and what God has done. Because I'm sure if this is how I delivered every sermon, the congregation would get smaller. Right? It's a celebration of who God is and what God has done. We rejoice because God is a God of complete love and mercy who seeks fellowship with all people made in God's image. We offer joyful praise for God, for God saves and cares for his covenant people. And you know who his covenant people are? All who profess the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are you ready for an encounter with God? Ask yourself these questions. What do you expect when you come here to worship? Do you expect to be entertained? Do you expect to be informed? Do you expect to meet friends? Do you expect to hear certain songs? Or maybe hope to not hear certain songs? Do you expect to be out in 59 minutes or less? Are you here for what you expect to get out of a worship service? Because I've heard that a lot. Not just here, but in all my years. Oh, I really got something out of that today. Or, you know, I didn't really get anything out of that one. Or, oh, are you here for what you are going to get? Are you here to have an encounter with God? I think many of us need to change the how and the why we come to worship. And I challenge you to pray Sunday morning before you come here. I'm lucky because I got 35 minutes on the interstate to pray, to recover from my morning, to prepare for worship. But I encourage you to pray before you come here. Pray that God prepares your heart for worship. And then instead of expecting a perfect sermon to hear exactly what you needed that week, instead of expecting the right perfect songs, or expecting to be here for the right exact amount of time, come here expecting an encounter with God. Do you see how that might change things? What if instead of a meeting about God, we made it a meeting with God? Wouldn't that change some things? Maybe instead of saying, "Is it over?" maybe we'd be saying, "It's over? Already? We're done? One more song, one more hymn, one more scripture, one more praise, one more testimony, please." And what we learn about our call to worship should help bring us all together and help facilitate that meeting with God. For one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we will all be judged how we lived our lives. And what greater witness would we have than if we truly believed? If we truly worshiped? What if all of us gathered here today were alive in the Spirit of God? Worship should be a very powerful moment for us. One of my first appointments was in a very small rural church. It was a church like many others that in its heyday it had Sunday school classes full. In its heyday, the pews were filled.
but it was down to about 10 to 15 people on average every Sunday. In fact, that church was the founding church of a much larger church just down the road. And the people asked me, they said, what can we do? And I said, the first thing you need to do is become spiritually alive. Because if my wife and I had moved into town and this was the first church we visited, it wasn't because it was an older church. It wasn't because the pews needed a good sanding and refinishing. It wasn't because there was plaster peeling off the ceiling that would make us go somewhere else. It wasn't the fact that my children were the only children in the congregation. I said, what would make us not come back is that you are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. I said, you half mumble through the call to worship. I can barely hear you through the Lord's Prayer. About three people sing. Who would want to come and worship like that? Would you rather worship with 10 powerful people who are loving God and into it? Or would you rather be in a room full of people who are looking at the clock and waiting to get to dinner? Who would you rather worship with? Now think about how you've worshiped over the last year. And I'm not saying some of you don't worship good and we haven't done some wonderful things here. But ask yourself honestly, if a visitor comes here for the very first Sunday, would they say our worship is alive or is it routine? Ask yourself, is your worship alive? Are you here to have an encounter with the holy God, the creator of the universe, the giver of salvation and eternal life? Are you here to have that kind of meeting or are you here out of routine? Are you here because, well, it's one day of the week I don't have to sit at home. Are you here because it's the day you get to see your friends? Why? Why do we reach? Why do we come? Ask yourself. Or are we here to truly worship the living God? Because church shouldn't be boring. Church shouldn't be a drain. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much Martha can do. There's only so much we can do on the piano and the organ and choosing music. And we can do everything we can to set the stage. But if you are not here to worship, it's words on a paper. It may be a nice tune to a melody. Maybe a song that we'll even whistle sometime during the week. But worship should be a powerful moment.